It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here in the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Coming up on Central Time, it's our weekly look at Congress with Paul Singer. This week, we have a lot to talk about. The Republicans have swept the U.S. Senate, and they're crafting their new agenda.
First, though, we're going to focus in on Wisconsin. Last night, the state's Republican Party saw a string of successes that will strengthen their control in the state. Governor Scott Walker kept his seat with a clear victory than many polls projected. The attorney general race went to Republican Brad Schimmel, and Republicans held their ground in the state Senate.
Secretary of State Doug LaFollette was the only Democrat to win statewide office, keeping a seat he's held for four decades. Governor Scott Walker delivered an enthusiastic victory speech in West Allis last night, thanking God and criticizing the government in Washington.
WPR State Capitol reporter Sean Johnson joins us now to give us an overview of Wisconsin's midterm election results. It's good to have you back, Sean.
Hey, thanks for having me again.
So big wins for Republicans in Wisconsin last night. How big a win was this for the GOP, would you say, and for the conservative agenda?
I would say that it was pretty close to their wins in 2010, when we were saying, you know, that's a once-in-a-generation win for Republicans. And here they've come back, and Governor Walker had his third win in 4 years. You know, he's won now as a first-time candidate for statewide office. He's won a recall. He's now won re-election, and he won it, as you mentioned, by a wider margin than a lot of people were expecting. The legislature, even after 4 years of, having voters having a chance to look at their record, they gave the legislature larger Republican majorities in the Senate and in the Assembly, where it looks like Republicans may now have 63 seats in the Assembly, pending a couple potential recounts, and a margin of 19-14 in the Senate. So very big night for Republicans, very bad night for Democrats in Wisconsin. They really don't have much to point to. Their only winner statewide was Doug LaFollette for Secretary of State, who also withstood that wave year of 2010. But the bad news for Democrats is the Secretary of State has essentially no duties. So it's a win in name only.
Now, the governor's race was pegged as being incredibly close. The polls were neck and neck for most of the race. And still, this margin of victory last night for Scott Walker was almost 6 points. What do you make of that?
Well, I heard from a Democratic pollster a couple weeks before the election day, and Paul Maslin at the time was the only person I was hearing say, you know, don't be surprised if this thing is a lot wider of a margin either for Mary Burke or Scott Walker than everyone's predicting, because really over the past 10 years, we haven't had a barn burner of a close race in a statewide race, really since the John Kerry, George Bush presidential race of 2004, that typically in Wisconsin, people make up their minds toward the end and that margin gets bigger. And that's what happened yesterday. Walker was really organized down the stretch, I'll say that. He, after looking like he was sort of flailing and searching for a message kind of midsummer, did not have that appearance toward the end of the campaign. And, you know, he was an incumbent, and it was a midterm gubernatorial election, which both things bode well for Republicans in this election, and that just kind of came home there toward the end.
Who was responsible in terms of voting demographics for that 6-point win for Governor Walker last night?
In demographics, I can tell you I didn't have a chance to look over the exit polls in terms of age and gender, things like that. But looking at the map of Wisconsin and where the votes came, he won all over the place. I mean, he won counties that Democrats have to win if they're going to win a statewide election in Wisconsin. You know, for example, down in Kenosha County, he's done very well there. But for a Democrat to win, typically the pattern of success for Democrats is that they win counties like that. So Mary Burke did win a few more counties than Tom Barrett had in his two unsuccessful runs at Scott Walker. So she increased the Democratic map in that regard. On the other hand, we had record turnout in yesterday's gubernatorial race for a regular midterm gubernatorial race, but it was really Republican driven. Mary Burke actually received about 23,000 fewer votes than Jim Doyle received for Democrats in 2006. So I think Democrats have to go back to the drawing board here and think about what happened in this race and, you know, what do they need to do for 2018.
And how did the vote pan out in the governor's race in terms of independents and men and women voters?
I haven't had a chance to look at the exit polling yet. I know that Scott Walker, toward the end there, looked like he was doing well with independent voters and men voters. You know, that was that gender gap existed throughout the polling on this race. There was, you know, and from what I could tell, from what little I did see of the exit polling, Walker won men as expected. Mary Burke won women. But independents went toward the governor, and that accounted in part for his margin of victory.
Now, moving on to the state Senate, where does it stand, and what does it say that it was a long shot that Democrats would have taken the Senate, had a majority there, but what is the message, a takeaway here about Wisconsin state politics?
Well, I think a couple of the races that Democrats targeted, as you mentioned, were not too great for them by the numbers, and the numbers turned out that way. They wanted to win the 19th state Senate district up in Outagamie and Winnebago counties. Thought they had a good candidate there in Representative Penny Bernard-Shaber from Appleton, but she lost pretty handily to former Republican Representative Roger Roth. Democrats liked their candidate in Martha Lanning in the 9th Senate district in the eastern Wisconsin against Devin Lemahue. But that race wasn't close. I mean, it reflected the conservative nature of that district. And on a night when Governor Walker performed very well in those counties, other Republicans did too. In the 17th state Senate district in southwest Wisconsin, you know, if Democrats were ever going to have a chance, that would be a district where they should have done well, because Barack Obama won that seat with about 56% of the vote. But it was a fairly lopsided victory there, too. Howard Markline, the Republican, conservative, with 55% of the vote over Pat Bomhack. You know, that's one race, that one in particular, will probably be analyzed as to what went wrong, because you had an ugly Democratic primary there, and you had the Democratic minority leader of the Senate getting involved in that. That's not typical of the way races like that are run. I guess what Democrats will say is, look, there was a national wave election, and Wisconsin was not immune to that.
Now, one of the more closely watched races was for a seat in the U.S. House, and that was Tom Petri's former seat. What happened there?
Tom Petri's former seat, which is another one of those Republican seats, went to Republican Glenn Grothman, a different kind of a Republican for sure than Tom Petri. Glenn Grothman, regarded as one of the most conservative members of the state legislature, very outspoken and not a fan of Tom Petri, and I think it was mutual. Petri, not a fan of Glenn Grothman. He did not endorse Glenn Grothman, and Grothman was very prepared to run in a primary against Petri. So, you know, this is kind of a new type of Republican here in Glenn Grothman compared to Petri. He defeated Mark Harris in that district, 57% of the vote going to Glenn Grothman to 41% for Mark Harris, the Winnebago County executive. You know, that was not unexpected. We really don't have many competitive districts, congressional districts in Wisconsin. Every time they redraw the maps, it gets less and less competitive. And so they are there to protect incumbents, basically. And that's what happened last night.
Now, one of the big events on any election night is the victory speech or the concession speech. What did we see last night, both for Mary Burke and for Scott Walker?
I mean, you know, Mary Burke essentially told people, keep your head up. When, you know, you get knocked down, you have to get back up. Scott Walker's speech sounded very much like somebody who wants to be talked about as a candidate for president. He mentioned the word Washington 10 times in his speech, never in a flattering light. You know, he contrasted what we'd done here, in his words, to what they did in Washington. You know, he sounded like somebody who wanted to run for president. You know, normally in that stump speech that he gives, he'll attack Madison or say that, you know, the people in Madison want to keep more of your money, things like that. It was all about Washington last night. And even when he talked about the good things that they'd done in Wisconsin, his message often morphed to, in Wisconsin and in America we believe. You know, I think a lot of people heard that speech last night and said, yeah, given the victory that he just had and given the way he's talking there, it's not going to be long before he's going to be out campaigning in Iowa.
Sean, thanks a lot for joining us and catching us up.
All right, thank you.
We've been speaking with WPR State Capitol reporter Sean Johnson about last night's elections here in Wisconsin.